the regulatory department at Pfizer, their members all need to be arrested.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman. Thank you for joining us today. Our guest is Karen Kingston. She is a biotech analyst, a med legal advisor. She's got decades of experience, and she has implemented strategic plans and campaigns for her clients that have changed the way doctors around the world practice medicine. Just absolutely fascinating bio. We've had her on before, so we're not going to spend too much time on that, but she's been instrumental in establishing a med legal review processes for clients, and she is well-versed across the clinical, scientific, legal, and commercial aspect of the pharmaceutical, medical device, and biotech industries. She's worked at some of the big ones, including Pfizer. You can see her portfolio of work at Veritage.com. For the last few years here, she has just been relentless in exposing these injections and the big pharmaceutical companies and the collusion with the government. She's been all over on all the great shows. Karen, welcome to the program. Your Substack is the Kingston Report. Fascinating stuff. Let's start with Pfizer and this very unique contract that they had with the military. I learned this from you. I had not heard this anywhere else. Please go ahead and share that.
Sure. So the other thing that's not in my bio is I am very good at contracts and contract negotiation. I've overseen over 100 of them. And I've worked with organizations where we did work with the government. So the Pfizer contract with the government is not a standard government contract at all. So typically when you work with the government, especially for intellectual property of a product, the Bayh-Dole Act applies, which means that the government takes ownership of your intellectual property. Under the manufacturing agreement, it says the government owns the manufacturing. They can seize the facilities. They can seize the product at any time. And it also says that once you start working for us, what you've created belongs to us. So that's a standard government contract. And what Pfizer's contract states, Pfizer basically is calling all the shots. So under inventions, it states under section 7.1 clearly states, as between Pfizer and the government, all inventions conceived or first actually reduced to practice. That means the first time a vial is produced in the performance of this statement of work shall be owned by Pfizer. So I have never seen anything like this. Normally when you work with the government, they take over ownership. Pfizer saying, as soon as we manufacture one vial, any intellectual property that we license from you belongs to us. And so Pfizer absolutely is culpable in this. And in section 7.1 under inventions, it also says the government acknowledged that the Bayh-Dole Act does not apply to or govern this agreement. It also says that the
Karen, explain a little bit more about that that act that you just mentioned. Why is that significant?
The Bayh-Dole Act is basically for businesses when they work with the government. It states when you work with us, we own your intellectual property.
Yeah. And so somehow Pfizer got itself exempt from this in their contract, huh?
And they made them. It looks like Pfizer made the government an offer they couldn't refuse.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to sign this contract. So if you read the FDA filings, it doesn't look like it doesn't look like the government was in charge. In fact, there's no evidence that they was. It even says the march-in terms identified in 35 USC 203 and 35 USC 204 are waived. Those are the manufacturing terms. That says you can't come into our manufacturing facilities and you can't seize them. So normally, under the Moderna contract, it says the government can seize their facilities at any time. And Pfizer says, no, you can't. Now the contract does state under manufacturing that Pfizer will be adherent to good manufacturing processes, and they even cite the laws. So the concept that we can say, well, they didn't know it was in the vials is absolutely false. I'm trying to see if I can pull that section up right now. They even cite the law saying we will adhere to good manufacturing processes. There's three pages where they go through the steps where they're going to do the quality controls. So a lot of people don't know, but when you manufacture a biologic, there's laboratories on site at those facilities that do quality control checks. They pull the vials, they check for them for consistency. They even sometimes do animal studies right there at the labs as well to check for the vials. So Pfizer did do that.
Now, I want to ask you about this, Karen, because just recently I've really started digging into this issue. It happened personally, family story. You know, my dad took this injection and his heart stopped right after. So we finally got the vax card and we ran the batch number through and through the VAERS data. And what we found was that just this batch, hundreds of reports of death, thousands of reports of adverse reactions, just in this one batch that dad got it from Miami. And then we looked at other batches from Pfizer in the VAERS database, and there are tons of them that have, you know, no reports or just a handful of reports. And so, you know, I started digging around, and you can see the fake media has already done some preemptive debunking of this, but I saw it with my own eyes. We're not imagining this. Some batches had huge numbers of reports of death, huge numbers of adverse reaction reports, and the government itself commissioned a study. They found less than 1% of all adverse reactions are reported. So was this due to bad manufacturing? Was this deliberate? What happened here? And you know, do you understand with these VAERS data what is going on here? Because there's so much confusion about this, and the fake media has only muddied the waters more. Do you think this was bad manufacturing, or was this deliberate?
So per the contract, it was not bad manufacturing. Under Section 2.0 applicable references, it says good manufacturing procedures will be adhered to per 21 CFR 210 and 211. They will follow good manufacturing for laboratory product as well as authorized and FDA approved product. Okay, so that's very clear in the contract.
So they were bound to manufacture it properly. Do you suppose they made a mistake, or what do you think happened?
So the other thing, does Pfizer know that the batches are variable? Absolutely they do. They told the FDA they do. When they received approval on August 23rd, 2021, they have a section under the biological license application where they state, Pfizer states that they worked with CBER, the division of the FDA that is in charge of the vaccines, to write a letter to send out to healthcare providers to let them know what product, the EUA product that's on the market, is currently compliant with the FDA approved version. So what does that mean, Alex? That means that there's a bunch of versions out there that aren't compliant with the FDA approved version. How many versions are there? We don't know, but I know from looking at the initial new drug application, which was submitted by Pfizer on April 30th of 2020, it states that there are 12 formulations that they are testing, and including, this is the kicker, including the South African variant test. So they filed that in April 30. I wrote on Brandon House that when the South African variant came out in January of last year, I go, well, they already had the vaccine for it. That's when they changed it to Omicron. So that's the name, and they actually wiped it. So there's 11 formulations that are in there. Some of them produce what's called an S2P spike protein, which is the pre-conformation, which is pretty much a known bioweapon. It actually is made of toxins, neurotoxins. And then the other one is called the wild type, which is the SARS-CoV-2 original spike protein that can be produced from these lipid nanoparticles. And that is not that deadly, per Ralph Baric's own testimony. So yes, I would hypothesize that there are 12 formulations, and one of them could potentially be placebo.
Wow, that is so fascinating. And in these contracts, you know, the government gave away a lot of concessions. And you know, you hear a lot of people talking about, well, we need accountability. So, well, no, Pfizer can't be sued. Pfizer's totally immune. They have this deal with the government. So when we get back from the break, I want to break that down. I know you say that is absolutely untrue. Of course, we have a grand jury investigating here in Florida whether they committed fraud. But Karen, what else is there to know about this contract before we go to break?
What's important to know is that they did follow good manufacturing processes, right? What's important to know is that the contract was to produce an FDA authorized or FDA approved vaccine, that it was a prototype or medical countermeasure. Yes, that was to run the manufacturing. But once you had the inventory, it cannot be released to the American people until they got FDA authorization or approval, which per the contract is done independent of the military. So the concept that this was military run is simply a false statement. It's a false narrative, and I want to be very clear about that. And I mean, I was a CMO for a nutraceutical company. I worked at Pfizer, so yes, before even at Pfizer, we do FDA approval. We would have a huge inventory of the product that was about to be FDA approved. That was just called inventory. Maybe it was called prototype. I don't know. But not until some of those products went into a bottle. We called it a sample. It was the same product that went into another bottle that was then sold at pharmacies. It doesn't mean that because we had sample, there was no product sold at pharmacies. right? You make the inventory. So they start, what the government said is like, we're going to start manufacturing ahead of time in anticipation of FDA approval or authorization. Once you get approval or authorization, that's when we're going to label this product as EUA vaccine or FDA approved vaccine. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so they didn't end up claiming that the FDA had approved some version of this, a Comirnaty or whatever. What's the deal with that? I mean, there was always kind of a haze of confusion surrounding this. Did they ever get one approved, and is it available on the market?
It's absolutely available. So the approval happened on August 23rd, 2021. And what happened on December 22nd, so it usually takes 3 months to do manufacturing for a product like this. December 22nd, 2021, you can go into the new drug codes for the FDA, and you'll see a number, there's three new drug codes for Comirnaty for the available product. There's also new drug codes now available for the bivalent mRNA. That was issued on December 22nd, 2021. If you go to my Substack, I even have a video from Edward Zoll, he's a reporter on the Stu Peters Network, where he's interviewing a soldier, and the soldier is holding an FDA-approved bottle of Comirnaty, reading the new drug codes that were issued on December 22nd, 2021. You'll also see that the Department of Logistics issued a letter to a FOIA request stating, on this date we sent FDA-approved Pfizer product, and on this day we sent FDA-approved Moderna product. So now there's a rumor saying, well, the product on the bases came from outside the US and Europe. That's a lie. The new drug codes are issued for FDA-approved products in the United States, and I have a video of a soldier holding the FDA-approved product. And you can also go on Comirnaty.com, and you can look and find centers where you can get FDA-approved product specifically for the mRNA bivalent, which is FDA-approved. And if you go to Pfizer's website, they put their indication. The indication is for an FDA approved product. And then underneath it, they say, but we're still FDA authorized. That's not how the law works. So the only reason why the law is working in favor of Pfizer is because the Patriot narrative is defending them.
Wow, that is fascinating. All right, let's go to break. And when we get back, we'll talk about holding these people accountable under existing state and federal statutes. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
The John Birch Society has been working tirelessly since 1958 to preserve freedom, safeguard the Constitution, and restore our God-given rights. We continually educate voters and lead the freedom movement. Join us as we work against a tyrannical one-world government. United as one, we can defeat this conspiracy against a free America. JBS founder Robert Welch said, "Education is our total strategy and truth our only weapon." Join us in restoring this great nation.
Karen, before we went to break, we were talking about the laws governing this, and there has been a lot of people, sounding the alarm about the vaccines, but then saying, no, Pfizer cannot be held accountable. They have total immunity. They're all fine. No, nobody can do anything to them. That's not your understanding, huh?
No, because that's false. I mean, that's absolutely false. And now that we're aware of the fact that they did not manufacture a vaccine, but they manufactured a bioweapon, we don't even have to get caught up in the emergency use authorization or vaccine circus anymore.
Let's start with that, Karen. So you're saying that this injection was actually a bioweapon?
It is a bioweapon, yeah. But let me explain how the contract holds them liable for manufacturing a bioweapon. We talked on the earlier part how Pfizer was calling all the shots, right? They're in charge. The military, I mean, it even says the military is not involved in the FDA clinical trials. The military does not own the product. I mean, these contracts they make Pfizer 100% culpable. But again, the contract was to produce a safe and maybe effective vaccine, but it did have to be safe. So under scope section 1.2, it says the criteria for successful emergency use authorization are described in the EUA 2017 guidelines. And I've read that document probably 100 times. I've had it since January of 2020. So the 100 million doses of the mRNA have to be demonstrated for based on efficacy and safety for that document and for FDA approval. So what does that mean? It says that emergency use authority is separate and distinct from use of a medical product under an investigational drug application. Okay, so there's guidance on if you don't have an FDA approved product for on use, you know, for its indication, then you can do emergency use authorization. As you read through this guidance, it says this is not a substitute for FDA approval. If you're going to use a product for more than 6 months, you need to go through the IND process, which Pfizer did. That was the approval and everything. And it clearly states, and I have to pull the law, that the initial new drug application process is a legally distinct process from emergency use authorization. So all those people that were harmed in the clinical trials, this is very important, they all have a lawsuit against Pfizer. They all have a lawsuit against Pfizer. They were supposed to be given informed consent. Yes, under 3024 of the Cures Act, an emergency use product, you don't need informed consent, but that does not apply to an initial new drug application or, you know, a product that goes through that process. So that's important. But then people were saying, well, you know, the military was in charge of the clinical trials and they were a PSYOP and they didn't happen. That's the most ridiculous thing I have. That is really the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And that's why I say it just with my years of experience. You know, it's kind of like how we say when one mask doesn't work, you should wear two. We're like, that's ridiculous. That's how ridiculous this is to say that the FDA approval was a PSYOP. So if you go through a contract, it says that, you know, it's not that the clinical trials didn't happen. It's just that the government didn't pay for them. And that's what it says in the contract. It says the collaboration has rapidly advanced from multiple COVID-19 vaccine candidates into human clinical testing based on BioNTech's proprietary mRNA vaccine platforms with the objective of ensuring rapid worldwide access to the vaccine if approved. And, you know, it goes on to say that Pfizer and BioNTech have made substantial progress outside of the statement of work. They've already started the phase 1/2 trials. So it wasn't that the trials didn't happen. The government's just saying, you have to do them. It's in the it's in the background. It's in the statement of work. It's just that we're not paying for it. And they're also, they did have to adhere to good manufacturing processes, but the government says we're not paying for all the manufacturing. So I don't know what part of the manufacturing they didn't pay for. Maybe the part that was done in China, because Pfizer also waived under the manufacturing laws that they didn't have to the manufacturers didn't have to be in the US. So that was bizarre. Wow. But again, it says the two companies are jointly conducting clinical trials and will jointly work to commercialize a vaccine upon regulatory approval. So it is to develop a vaccine. And if you read the first page of the contract, it says that that vaccine will prevent against SARS-CoV-2 and other related viruses, so the variants. So that was what the contract was for, under FDA approval and safety, to prevent from SARS-CoV-2 infection and related viruses, so the variants. Pfizer never delivered that. What did Pfizer deliver? Well, it looks like they bullied the FDA, because if you take a look at their November 20th submission, under one section, it states there were 100 children who had severe reactogenicity. What is severe reactogenicity? Severe side effects. And they said the sponsor said not to disclose it. It was almost like when a woman's being beaten and she hands like a note to someone that says, my husband's not beating me.
So, I mean, 100 children were harmed in these tests.
And
they didn't tell anybody.
No, they didn't tell anybody. And the FDA said, Pfizer told us not to tell you this. In the November 20th filing as well, I have a very good memory. There were 409 people that came down with COVID-19, severe COVID-19.
So they took the shot and then they still got the COVID.
Within 1 week of the first or second dose. Within 1 week of the first or second dose. So they came down with severe COVID-19. And Pfizer said, we're not sure if this is reactogenicity or if this is our vaccine, so we're not going to count it. What else happened? October 22nd, 2020, Pfizer met with the FDA as well as other industry. And they listed out 24 consequences of their injections. And I know you've seen this slide before. It's, you know, myocarditis, pericarditis, heart attack, stroke, thrombocytopenia, encephalitis and myelitis, swelling of the brain and spinal cord, death, multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children. They list these out. These are not side effects. Those were intended consequences. That was in violation of section 312 of the FDA, 312.42 of the Food and Drug Consumer Protection Act, which says you must stop a clinical trial in phase 1 if human subjects are or would be exposed to unreasonable and significant risk of illness or injury. What did I say? The initial new drug application process that all of those people went through has to apply to this law. It's not covered by emergency use law. It's not covered by any of them.
So Pfizer is liable for this then. They lied, they cheated, they stealed, and this was all in violation of what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, it's all in violation. And it looks like they bullied the FDA, because the FDA is constantly saying, so in the November 20th filing, there is a teenager that fell and broke their face. They broke their face after being injected. And the FDA says, Pfizer said it's not their vaccine. Now, there's also data.
Well, in that case.
Yeah, no. Well, there's also data that says 21 people died in the vaccine group, and I think there's 14 in the placebo group. Here's the thing, Alex. I haven't looked at that data, and I need to. I can tell you in the data with the children and the babies, and I know in the adult data, they cross over. They injected the placebo group. I don't know if it was at the 6-month mark or earlier. In the baby group, it was at the 3-month mark. So if they started injecting people 3 months in the placebo group's not a placebo group in most of these trials. It's a crossover group. So
crossover, you mean that some took it? Explain that.
Meaning that in the baby trials, they have 400 in one group who don't get the vaccine or whatever, how many it was, 1,500. I don't know the numbers. Let's say 1,500 in one group that didn't get the vaccine and 1,500 that did. And then they monitored both groups for 3 months. And then at the end of the 3 months, they injected the babies that weren't injected. And at the end,
thereby ruining the control group, huh?
Thereby ruining the group. So I can tell you in the baby group between the ages of 6 and 24 months, so less than 2 years of age, there was just over 300 babies that were injected and only 3 made it to the last visit.
Oh, whoa.
So my question is, with those 14, did those 14 people in the placebo group who died, were they also injected? Because they aren't actually placebo. But how is this? So what is a bioweapon? A bioweapon is a product that does not prevent infection. It doesn't prevent disease. It wasn't done under bona fide research. And if you just look at the initial new drug application, I can point out 3 dozen things that aren't bona fide research. And then you go through the trial. So probably over 100 times, I can show you that this was not bona fide research. And it doesn't have a peaceful purpose. People are dying from disabilities, disease, and death from the injections. That's not peaceful. Yeah. So how do you prove that Pfizer released a bioweapon? Well, when they got the FDA approval, guess what the FDA said missing information was? Vaccine effectiveness. So however you define a vaccine, whether it's to prevent an infection or produce immunity or produce antibodies, however you define a vaccine, the FDA said on the day of approval, we don't have enough information to prove that this is effective. What is a bioweapon? A biological agent that doesn't prevent anything, right? Wasn't done by research. So it is a bioweapon. And they also state that Pfizer states in the clinical pharmacology in their FDA approval, the immunologic mechanism that confers protection against SARS-CoV-2 is unknown because you're being injected with lipid nanoparticle technology. Last year, I think it was July last year, the FDA put out a notice saying, don't test for antibodies for infection, whether you're infected or get injected. Why? Because you don't produce antibodies. If you read my Substack, KarenKingston.substack, read intended consequences. I found all the clinical trial data that was put in the patent that produces the spike protein that was invented by Barney Graham and Jason McClellan. And it clearly states they tested over like 180 or 200 monoclonal antibodies that they reproduced. They all bounced off the spike protein like bullets on Superman, but they bound to your heart, lung, and kidney receptors beautifully to cause death. So,
well, also, Karen, we're almost out of time. Okay. I want to know, how do we hold these people accountable then? There are state laws on the books. There are federal laws. Do we have everything that prosecutors should need to go after these people?
Absolutely. The first thing you have to do is stop calling it a vaccine or a prototype or a medical countermeasure. They were contracted to develop a vaccine that protects against SARS-CoV-2. They clearly developed a bioweapon. This is in violation of every law. I mean, the 14th Amendment, no man shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Under the Universal Code for Military Justice, you cannot knowingly harm a civilian population with a bioweapon. 18 USC 175 defines a bioweapon as any biological agent or device that is not a prophylactic, so it's not preventative, wasn't done under bona fide research, right? And it has no peaceful purpose. So in the state of Florida, unleashing a bioweapon is second degree manslaughter. It's the same as basically murder or drunk driving. So you can absolutely go after them. And why it's so important to call it a bioweapon, Alex, is because you don't want to get wrapped up in the lawfare of EUA. There's no precedent for it, first of all. And then second, even if you say it's a vaccine gone wrong and a gene editing therapy, which is what Pfizer wants us to say, under the Childhood Protection Act, you can fraudulently promote a product. Actually, it's legal as long, and you can also do fraudulent, believe it or not, research. So the Escobar.
So Karen, in the state of Florida right now has impaneled a grand jury, and one of the things they're looking into is fraud. You think they'll be able to get away with that, huh?
Yeah, because, okay, Escobar case, 2016, the government, if the government doesn't find that the fraud that was committed by the contractor is of material significance, then you don't have a case. Wow. That's, I mean, everyone, I don't know how these attorneys don't know this. I mean, it's very weird. It's very weird that they don't know this. So
you think the best way to go after them would be to say that basically they're creating and marketing a bioweapon and hurting people, and they don't have the right to do this. It's
the only way to go after them, because that's what happened. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's under government orders. It wasn't. First of all, it wasn't. But, you know, it's not like if someone said to me, you know, hey, Karen, here's a gun and I want you to go shoot neighbors, but tell them you're giving them a cupcake, and then we're going to operate under cupcake law. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I know that's a stupid analogy, but that doesn't make any sense.
It's brilliant. I think that's important for people to wrap their heads around what we're dealing with here, because it's so wild. So, Karen, what can normal people do about this? Obviously, they need to go to your Substack and get familiar with this information. But once they're familiar with this, then what?
So I'm actually going to some counties right now. Find people who were injured by this bioweapon, you know, start getting organized. And I'm working in a county specifically. We're going to get a sheriff to issue arrest warrants. And the gavel's coming down. So what needs to happen is the regulatory department at Pfizer, their members all need to be arrested. And I, you know, here's the thing, people know my background. I've worked with top law firms. I've worked with Wilson Sonsini Goodrich and GT Law, you know, and Rutan and Tucker. And I spoke to some attorneys about these contracts, and they, you know, and I just was saying hypothetically, the government's involved, the military, the FDA, da, da, da. And they said, no, Karen, you don't go after the government. If someone's doing that, they're wasting their time and money. You go after a private organization. And if they say the government made me do it, then you make them drag them in. You don't go after the government. And also the Pfizer contract, they don't have coverage from the government. It doesn't matter that the contract says you're a covered person. An organization can't be a covered person under EUA law just because Secretary Azar made a memo. Plus the fact they were a covered person to develop a vaccine, and they developed a bioweapon. Again, like if they were being manufactured to manufacture cupcakes, but they're bioweapons, you don't operate under cupcake law. You operate under bioweapon law. So we need to call this a bioweapon. It is what it is. And I want people to know you have the authority to call it a bioweapon. You know it doesn't prevent disease. You know it doesn't prevent infection. And you know it causes disease, disabilities, and death. You do not need the FDA or HHS or CDC's approval to call it a bioweapon. They're the ones that lied to us and called it a vaccine. Every individual has the authority and should have the confidence to call it what it is. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As Christians, we are called to speak the truth with confidence, and we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. So tell people, hey, why did you take the vaccine? I thought it was going to, you know, do this. Well, it doesn't do this. It doesn't prevent it. Now you're sick. You know why? When a vaccine doesn't work, what it's called? It's called a bioweapon.
And folks, for the record, I have reached out to Pfizer. I've given them multiple opportunities to comment on all of these issues. I have called them. I have emailed them. I've reached out to the CDC. I've even sent FOIA requests. So far, they're just ignoring me. I think they're daring me to sue them. And so we've tried to get a response from them, and they will not provide anything. Karen, best website to find you, of course, your Substack, the Kingston Report. You're on some of the social media companies. How can people follow your work?
The best place is KarenKingston.substack. So and that's the best place to follow me. I'm on Getter, and Karen Kingston. You can follow me there. I'm on Twitter right now.
We'll see what happens. I'm there too. So far they haven't shut me down for posting some serious stuff about these injections. Well, Karen, thank you so much for your work. Thank you for coming on the program. It's been wonderful to have you. Hopefully we'll get an update very soon as you continue your incredible research into this. And thanks again for coming on the program.
Thank you, Alex. God bless.
All righty, folks. That was Karen Kingston. Thank you for tuning in. This is Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman, for the New American Magazine. Until next time, God bless you all.
As a lumberjack, I've been cutting wood for decades. My job is pretty straightforward. I see the wood, I chop the wood. My axe goes through every time. You remember when everyone bought all the toilet paper? And they wanted me to wear these things? And someone invested a lot of money into this stuff. They say I'm part of a global plan. I don't think so. It's too hot. It's too cold. You know what? The weather changes. We even hear crazy ideas on how kids should learn.
Here's the news, Dad.
Is it, son? Is it?
What about this one, Dad?
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days. There's just too much baloney out there. At the New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.
Visit thenewamerican.com and subscribe to get 50% off the cover price. And if you want an even better deal, use the promo code 10OFFSUB. Again, that's 10OFFSUB for more than 50% off.